Okay, so we're going to be talking tonight about communication again, but we're going to be actually talking about love languages. How do you communicate to one another? And all of us, whether you know it or not, have our own specific love languages. How many of you have ever read the book, The Five Love Languages? So you're experts, right? I've read it. I've practiced it. I've been married almost 42 years. I'm continuing to learn stuff. And if you don't continue to learn, you're in trouble. Because frankly, we change over the years too, right? What our primary love language might change a little bit in that too. Did I share with you guys? I know I have before that, you know, communicating in marriage and being a couple is hard work, right? It is, right? But it's worth the payoff. So that's what we're going to talk about, being worth the payoff and doing the things that God's called us to. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you again, and as we get into your word, and we ask you to guide us and you to have our hearts and minds be open to what you'd have us to do to be the best partner on this earth, the best husband, the best wife, the best future husband, the best future wife, that you would open up your word, you would open our hearts, and our mind would be just fertile ground to receive what you have for us tonight, Lord. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to lay a foundation by reading Proverbs chapter 5. I think I shared with you guys the first teaching we did about reading Proverbs chapter 5. And we could take the whole night and go through Proverbs chapter 5 chunk by chunk, but I'm going to do it for a specific reason to lay the foundation for us to have a heart ready to receive. So here's what it says. It says, my son, starting with verse 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised correction? I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined to the ear of those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountain be depressed abroad? Streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breasts, did I say that? Is that in the Bible? Yeah. Oh, okay, it is. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times, married men, not you that are dating and engaged.
That's a good thing.
Amen. And always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Is that heavy? Honestly, you think of it. You know, God gives us specific warnings to stay with the one that he's given us and not to turn to the left or right, correct? We need to, and it even says in there, how many of you are single and dating? Okay, you guys plug your ears for a minute. Again, it's, and honestly, I actually shared this scripture with my kids before they got married. I did premarital counseling with them. And I said, once you're married, you're supposed to enjoy the breasts of your wife. But until then, you're not. I think if you were here a couple weeks ago, I stated, if you're not married, people say, well, what can I do before I get married? How far can I go? And I say, you can go as far as you feel comfortable with me in the room. That's what I told my kids. That's what I tell you. But the bottom line is, once you're married, you're supposed to enjoy your wife's body, and she's supposed to enjoy your body. And you're supposed to make sure that you are totally enraptured with them. Stop looking elsewhere for something, number one, you can't have, and number two, won't satisfy you. It'll kill you. That's what the Word of God says. It will kill you. So you want to make sure that you're doing the right things and listening to God and what He says. We need to be studying our spouses. How many of you guys like football or basketball or baseball? Do you study the game? Yeah. Do you study your wife as much as you study the game? Amen. Good for you, brother. But I'm serious. You know, we study on games, and what are the scores, and what are the stats, and oh, what's this guy's average, and so on. We husbands and wives need to be studying each other, understanding the needs of each other, so that we're able to do what God's called us to do. It's hard work, again, but worth every bit of it. Again, we look at things from different perspective, men and women, right? We talk about blue headphones and red. How many of you have gone through Love and Respect? We just look at things differently. And that's not a bad thing. We just need to understand we look at things differently. Let's put this first slide up on the screen. Now, you tell me what's wrong with this from whose perspective? Right? The way he's looking at it, it's a six. The way she, well, they're both like a six. One's a six and one's a nine, but it's really the same thing. We see things through different visions so many times, and that's okay. We need to give each other grace and mercy to do that thing. We only have time to go through the basics of the love languages today. If you don't have the book, you can get it. And at the end, I'm going to show you a slide of where you can get it. You can actually get it in our bookstore. But my goal today is to be, it's going to be more of a classroom setting, so that we're actually going to have not a test, but an information sheet at the end, where you're going to find out what your real love language is and be able to give that to your spouse or significant other, so you know how to communicate with one another. Does that make sense? So it's more of a classroom setting. I'm going to be reading a lot, basically straight information about the book, about how to know what your love language is, so that you can communicate properly to each other in everyday life. There's the word love. What does that mean to you? What does love mean to you? Anybody tell me what love means to you? Somebody? You go ahead. You've got 1 Corinthians 13 memorized. That's on my list. What else is love? Anybody know about love? How,
in a marriage?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Amen.
No, it has to be you love your wife with all your heart.
Amen. Amen. Agape. It's God's love. The greatest love we know is what? Christ. Who? What did he do? He died for us, right? That's total sacrifice. You look at Philippians chapter 2. He totally went to the cross and died for us as a sinner. But he wasn't a sinner. He was a God willing to sacrifice for us. That's real love. And that's the kind of love we need to have for each other. We need to have that heart to be able to do what God's called us. Anyone else have an idea of what love in marriage is? Yes.
Unconditional.
Amen.
Serving.
Amen.
Willing to take a bullet to protect
her. Amen. Amen. You men, honestly, if you're not willing to throw your body in front of your wife to save her, pray, because you should be willing to do that. Anybody else have? Yes.
Serving.
Yes. Three things. Serving. Yes.
Unselfish.
Amen. It's dying to yourself constantly. In marriage, if you're not dying to yourself, you're dying. I mean, it's the truth, right? But if you're dying to yourself, the other's being lifted up, and it's glorious in the Lord. Anybody else? One more thing? Two more things? Nothing? What's that?
Respect.
Amen. Having respect for one another. We need to respect one another and be there with it. Okay, well, I don't have to read 1 Corinthians 13. It was read for us. That's awesome. And you see, we've been talking about the languages. And you know, this is, we're going to be talking about love languages. And love languages, we've learned over the last couple months, is verbal and nonverbal communications, correct? It's not just what I say, but it's what I do. It's how I react. It's how I act. It's all those things. Just the, I didn't have to say anything, but I'm going, she's saying, dear, can you take out the trash? Yeah. I mean, what's that saying? You're not saying something very good at that point. So it's real important to understand as we go through these, you're going to see verbal and non-verbal communications and how you need to apply them in your situation. The key is, at this point, looking at two things. You have to look at two things as we go through this. Number one, what do I think my love language is? And then what do I think my spouse or significant other's love language is? And after we take the information sheet, you're going to take it for yourself, knowing what yours is. You're going to trade it, and you're going to have time to communicate with each other how to do that better. Does that make sense? Because I want you to leave with tools tonight. It's a classroom setting. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and communicate to some of you, and some of you will probably have no idea what I'm saying. Let's see. Now, I'd like to thank everyone for being 10-8 tonight. We're going 97 with this study. Don't go code 3 to the food line for code 7 after the study. Go code 1. I pray that when we go EOW, you will not go home and have any 415s. But as we go EOW, I pray that you will go code 3 home and practice what you've learned. Now, how many of you knew what I said? Some of you understand some law enforcement stuff. Those are codes in police talk. You see, if you don't know the code, you haven't a clue what I'm saying. So as we go through the love languages, hopefully you're going to understand the code of your wife, the code of your husband, and be able to communicate better. I'll teach you the codes next month. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so this is some things basically straight from the book, and I'm going to give you an outline of background of the love languages, and then we're going to go into what they are, all right? Most of us grow up learning the language of our parents, which becomes our native tongue. Later, we may learn additional languages, but usually we're with much more effort. In the area of love, it's similar. Your emotional love language and that of your spouses may be as different as Mandarin and English. No matter how hard you try to express love in English, if your spouse speaks another language, they won't understand anything you're saying. Seldom do a husband and a wife have the same primary love language. A couple people I was talking to before it started, they said, oh, my love language is totally different than my spouse. And that's okay. It's good. We tend to speak our primary love language and become confused when our spouse doesn't understand what we're communicating. Once you identify and learn to speak your spouse's primary love language, you have discovered the key to a long-lasting, loving marriage. How many of you, just as that have gone through the book, The Love Languages, discovered, oh my gosh, that's how I have to communicate love to my spouse? Any of you have done that? So those of us who have gone through it, honestly, it enlightened you to that. For my wife and myself, when we got married, we came from just totally different backgrounds. I shared with you guys before, I'm an ex-Italian Catholic from Chicago. And everybody touches and hugs and kisses and so on. She came from a house that, you don't do that. Her dad was an engineer. And you know, the peck on the cheek when he came home was about it. So when we got together and all of a sudden we have a family get together and all these people are giving her hugs and kisses, she's like, what the heck is going on here? Again, it's how you brought up in that language you have. She had to learn how to speak my language, and we'll talk more about that. I'll give you a little hints of, for us, what worked for us in that in the future too. So determine your own love language. How do I express love to others? That's how you determine it. How do I complain about things? And what do I request most often? Those are usually what your love languages are, because those are the things that mean the most to you. So how do we make sure that our significant other understands that and we're able to minister to each other in that? Speaking your spouse's love language probably won't be natural to you. Dr. Chapman says, we're not talking comfort, we're talking love. As so many of you have said, what is love? It's dying to yourself and doing the right things and so on. Love is something we do for someone else. So often couples love one another, but they aren't connected. They are sincere, but sincerity isn't enough. Does that make sense? If I'm really sincere, but you haven't a clue what I'm saying, or if I'm really sincere, but I'm not speaking your love language, it's like, well, do you really love me? So we need to be clear on that. Okay, so here are the five love languages. We're going to take each one of them and give a little bit of information on it. Again, there's so much more information online and in the book and so on. But I want to give you a brief so that you can actually take the test. And it's not a test, but the information sheet. It says test. It really is an information sheet for you. It's for educating us. Okay, the first one is words of affirmation. Actions don't always speak louder than words. If this is your love language, unsolicited comments mean the world to you. Hearing the words, I love you, are important. Hearing the reasons behind that love sends the spirits skyward. Insults can leave you shattered and are not easily forgotten. Verbal compliments or words of appreciation are powerful communicators of love. Encouraging words. Encourage means to inspire courage. All of us have areas which we feel insecure. We lack courage, which often hinders us from accomplishing the positive things that we would like to do. Perhaps you or your spouse have untapped potential in one or more areas of life. That potential may be waiting encouraging words from you or from him. Boy, is that true. When you're encouraged in an area you think you're okay in, you can just sprout up and do so much more in it. And I want to say right off, you can have more than one love language too. I have a primary and a secondary. My wife definitely has a primary and secondary also. The next under the words of affirmation is kind words. If we're to communicate love verbally, we must use kind words. That has to do with the way we speak. The statement, I love you, when said with kindness and tenderness, can be a genuine expression of love. Humble words. Love makes requests, not demands. In marriages, we're equal partners. If we're to develop an intimate relationship, we need to know each other's desires. If we make our needs known in the form of a request, we're giving guidance, not ultimatums. If this is your partner's love language, set a goal to give your spouse a different compliment each day of the month. Every day. Yeah, you could do it, but you have to be intentional about it. We've talked about before being intentional about the things you do. Okay, so with that, we're gonna show a little meme, kind of some fun thing to kind of show words of affirmation. If you turn your eyes to the screen. I know they're speaking an unknown language. So words of affirmation might be your love language. And you love to hear those things, and it helps build you up and do things. I'll tell you something. If you have children, you need to be affirming them constantly. They need to hear from you that they can do it, that they can do good things, and so on. But if that's your love language, you'll be able to project that more to your future, your future spouse, your loved one. Okay, quality time is the next one. In the vernacular of quality time, nothing says I love you like full, undivided attention. Being there for this type of person is critical. But being there with the TV off, fork and knife down, and the chores and tasks, wife and husband, on standby, makes your significant other feel truly loved and special. Distractions, postponed dates, or the failure to listen can be especially hurtful to this person. This means giving someone your undivided attention. I don't mean sitting on the couch watching television together. What I mean is talking and walking together. Just the two of you, or going out to eat and looking at each other while you're talking. Boy, I keep getting sidetracked. Does it get me frustrated when I see a couple, they're out to eat and one's reading the newspaper and the other one's doing whatever. Wait, let's modernize it because we see it. They're texting. They're out to dinner together and they're texting. They don't even know what's going on. I'm sure they're not. Maybe they're texting each other, right? But we know they're not. Okay. Time is a strong communicator of love. The love language of quality time has many dialects. One of the most common is that of quality conversation. Two individuals sharing their thoughts and feelings. I mean, really taking the time to share your thoughts and feelings. A relationship calls for sympathetic listening with a view of understanding the person's desires. We must be willing to give advice, but only when it's requested. Boy, isn't that hard, guys? To not just, we want to solve everything, but we need to allow them to talk so many times. And never give advice in a condescending manner. Never do that. Here are some practical listening tips. Maintain eye contact with your spouse as you're talking. Don't do something else at the same time, like we said, texting or whatever. Yeah, I'm listening to you. Ooh, score! Sure you're listening. Listen for feelings and confirm them. Ask yourself, what emotion is my spouse expressing? Observe body language, as we've talked about. What are they saying? Verbally might be a little bit different than the body language, and there's maybe more that you need to get into. Refuse to interrupt. That's a hard one too, because right, we have the answers. Such interruptions indicates, now listen to this, guys and gals. Such interruption indicates, I don't care what you are saying, listen to me. That convicted me big time. Because a lot of times I think, I've got a good thing to say to you. This is nice. Well, she's still talking. I haven't finished hearing what she's got to say. Quality conversation also calls for self-revelation. In order for your partner to feel loved, you must reveal some of yourself too. Well, I'll just let her talk. No, you need to talk too. How was your day? Fine. What'd you do today? Worked. Was it hard? Nope. What'd you have for lunch? Food. I mean, that's not a conversation, guys. I'm talking to the guys because usually it's the guys that do that stuff, right? Okay. If this is your partner's love language, ask your partner for a list of 5 activities that he or she would like doing. Make plans to do one of them each month for the next 5 months. Now, that you should be having a date night anyway, guys and gals, husbands and wives. You should be having a date night. And this could be a date night too, but look at things that they want to do and schedule them. Actually go out. You could make the plan too if this is the other person's love language, so that you're actually ministering to them in that. Okay, let's look at another meme on this one. I think this might be the wrong one. Yeah, this is the wrong one. This one is for gifts. This one's for gifts. It's the wrong one. Huh? Still works, huh? We'll see if you could really quick find that one. If not, we'll just go on with the teaching. It's probably number one under the videos. Because you had, I think, the pool, the other one. But if we don't pull it real quickly, we'll go on. No? Okay, we're going to go on. Hopefully, we already did gifts. Now we're going to talk about gifts. I wanted to show you the bottle at the very end. She ends up coming in with the gift and all happy and happy because they brought him a gift, okay? So. Sorry about that. Happens. Technology, we love it. Okay, here's real key with gifts. Don't mistake this love language for materialism. It's real important. My youngest daughter loves gifts, but it's not like she has to have the biggest whatever. It's just that you're thinking of them, and we'll go into that. The receiver of gifts thrives on love and thoughtfulness and effort behind the gift. If you speak this language, the perfect gift or gesture shows that you are known, and you are cared for, and you are prized above whatever was sacrificed to bring the gift to you. So they pick something that really makes sense to them that they like versus just bringing in, here, I got you a gift. A missed birthday, anniversary, or a hasty, thoughtless gift would be a disaster. And we've seen that with our daughter. Or would be absent, or so would the absence of everyday gestures. Almost everything ever written on the subject of love indicates that at the heart of love is the gift of giving. The five love languages challenges us to give to our spouses. But for some, receiving gifts, visible symbol of love, speaks the loudest. A gift is something you can hold in your hand and say, look, he or she was thinking of me, or he or she remembered me. A gift is a symbol of that thought. Gifts come in all sizes, colors, and shapes. Some are expensive and others are free. To the individual whose primary love language is receiving gifts, the cost will not matter. There is only an intangible gift that can speak more loudly than something that can be held in one's hand, and that's physical presence in the time of crises is the most powerful gift you can give. Your body becomes a symbol of your love. If this person's, if your primary love language is gifts, keep a gift idea notebook. Every time you hear your spouse say, I really like that, write it down. Remember it, or text it in your phone, right? Select gifts you feel comfortable purchasing, making, or finding, and don't wait for a special occasion. Becoming a proficient gift giver is easy as a language of love. Does that make sense to you guys? Does anybody out here have their love language is receiving gifts? Okay, and would you be willing to share something that your husband has done that just... Is...
I was laughing because when you said it could turn into a disaster, when we first met, we were dating long, like probably maybe it was like 6 months, and it was my birthday, and he got me something, but I could totally tell there was no thought put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're making a big point. And that's a perfect story. Thank you for being willing to share that, because just to buy someone a gift, and there's no thought. I remember my youngest daughter and one of her boyfriends got her a gift, but the gift was really something he wanted. Right? That's kind of like I do for my grandson, but that's another story. But the fact is, that's what shows the real care is this something that person would really want and really like and really mean a lot to them? So that's how you think through it and say, okay, I thought about them, they like flowers. If I bought my wife flowers, she'd be mad at me. She doesn't want me to spend money on flowers. Now I take her out to dinner, that's a different story. But your wife or your husband might like flowers. Figure out what their gift in that is. We won't show that again. But the next one is acts of service. Okay. Can vacuuming the floor really be an expression of love? Absolutely. Anything you do to ease the burden of responsibility weighs on an act of service. Persons who speak... Anything you do to ease the burden of responsibility weighing on an acts of service, person will speak volumes. The words he or she most wants to hear, let me do that for you. Laziness, broken commitments, and making more work for them tells the speaks the language, their feelings don't matter. People who speak this love language seek to please their partner by serving them, to express their love for them by doing things for them. Actions such as cooking a meal, setting a table, washing the dishes, sorting the bills, walking the dog, or dealing with the landlord are all acts of service. I'm going to add or taking out the trash, because that's one I do for my wife. They require thought, planning, time, effort, and energy. If done with a positive spirit, they are indeed expressions of love. I'm not saying become a doormat to your partner or do these things out of guilt or resentment. No person should ever be a doormat. Do these things as a lover. If this is your partner's love language, what one act of service has your spouse nagged you about constantly? Do you know that? Why not decide to see the nag as a tag? I've tagged you. Can you do this for me and make it better? I think I shared with you guys. Did you guys hear? I was sharing with you guys how taking out the trash became a real good thing for my wife and myself. Share it again. Okay, some of you didn't hear. Okay, so in this... For my wife and I, acts of service is definitely her love language. And she'd take out the trash, take out the trash. George, you didn't take out the trash. Could you take out the trash? Could you take out the trash? Finally, we just started saying, let's start having fun with things like this, you know. We finally learned after 30-some-odd years. Now it's 42 years. But anyway, so she would go like this. Hey, George, why don't you take out the trash? I think that would be sexy. Okay, Della, I'm taking out the trash. So then it became a fun thing for us, and that's the way it should be. Then from then on, I'd be walking by the trash, and if I'd remember, I'd go, Della, I'm taking out the trash. And she'd go from there, woo-hoo, sexy. Make it fun, not that it's a nag and a hag and stuff. Make it fun with each other that you can meet that person's need in that love language. No. Oh. Whatever floats your boat. Okay, let's look at acts of service if it works. If not, well, I'll say, I meant to do that one for the next one. And for me, honestly, one of the things that was a real act of service for my wife, number one, I'll make the calls to Verizon when you're on the line for 45 minutes trying to do it. And she's just so thankful she doesn't have to deal with that. Another thing is it showed in there, honestly, a real act of service. It was fun to me anyway, but when I'd come home and I'm playing with the kids so she can get the dinner ready or do whatever, she's just like, you don't know how much that blesses me. We could bless our spouses by doing that act of service if that's their love language. Okay, and the last one here is physical touch. This language isn't all about the bedroom. A person whose primary language is physical touch is, not surprisingly, very touchy. You don't know what my love language is. Hugs, pats on the back, holding hands, and thoughtful touches on the arm, shoulder, or face. They can all be ways to show excitement, concern, care, and love. Physical presence and accessibility are crucial, while neglect or abuse can be unforgiving or destructive. Holding hands, kissing, hugging, and sex, all of these are lifelines for this person, for whom physical touch is the primary love language. With it, they feel secure in their partner's love. I'm going to break there for a minute. Because our love languages were so different, and mine was physical touch, for the first year of our marriage a lot, I didn't know, does she really love me? And she wasn't not loving me, but she wasn't touching me or sitting by me and stuff. And it's like, that's to me how you showed love. And so as she learned that, then she sits by me and touches me a lot. And I like it. love touches don't make much time, but they do require a little thought, especially if there isn't your primary love language. Again, for my wife, that wasn't her primary love language. For her dad came home, brought home the paycheck, and did all the things around the house. That was love. So she didn't think that she had to do the other things for me, and we needed to learn that love language. Oh, you didn't grow up in a touchy family. Sitting close to each other as you watch TV. I love it when she sits next to me and we're watching TV. As long as she's touching me. Her leg needs to touch me. Her hand needs to touch me. It's great. What movie do you want? I don't care as long as you touch me. Did I say that? There you go. But communicate your love loudly. Touching each other when you leave the house or when you return may involve only a brief kiss, but speaks volumes. We always, before we leave, we kiss each other and make sure that things are right there. If this is your partner's love language, while eating together, let your knee or foot drift over and touch your partner's. It means a lot. You're touching me. It really does. It's just a real special thing for someone that has that love language. Let's see if this... Shoo, 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 See, the other stuff isn't meaningless. It just means way more when you communicate in the love language. Does anybody have any examples of their love language that they'd be willing to share that the partner does or does? Positive stuff. I don't want negative stuff. Anybody have anything they'd want to share?
Back rubs.
Back rubs? And what is that love language? But is it physical touch?
Yeah, no, of course.
Okay. Anybody else? Love language. Yes?
Playing with your hair.
Playing with your hair? You like them to play with your hair? That's cool. All right. Anybody else? A love language? Okay. We're over talkative. Okay, the key for me is, and we're just about on time, I want to make sure we're going to have 15 minutes to give you guys to make sure you get through what's called the love language test summary in a minute. And along with that, I'm giving a summary to you also so that it'll help you to understand what that means. You could take that home with you. But I don't want you to have to rush through it. That's where we're going to take 15 minutes to answer the questions. It goes through 30 questions. And then you total each letter at the bottom, and it'll show you what your primary and secondary love language is. But before, as they're passing it out, I want to read something, because this is real important. This is not about you. It's about you to make sure you put what your love language is, but it's about them, so that when you get the sheet, you understand what their love language is, and you could start meeting that need. Does that make sense? So it's about, you know, what did Gail Irwin always say? Others, those of you remember. And it's also about dying to yourself, as we've heard a couple times. It's not about me. It's about when I get your sheet, I'm going to make sure I understand how to minister to you. So I'm going to read to you some basic things on dying to self. You guys could start passing the stuff out if you want to. Okay. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely said at naught, and you don't sting or hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that's dying to self. Now, if you're not convicted by every one of these, then you're way better than I am. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, when your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to yourself. When you lovingly and patiently bear any discomfort, any irregularity, any impunctuality, any annoyance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensitivity, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to yourself. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interpretation by the will of God, that is dying to yourself. When you never care to refer to yourself in a conversation or to record your own good works or itch for commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that's dying to yourself. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy, no question, while your needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that's dying to yourself. That is heavy. That is the attitude I want us to have as after we fill it out, we get our spouses or significant others and we say, how do I die to myself and make sure I glory in God and make sure I minister to them in their love languages? Let's pray real quick. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as they take this information sheet, fill it out, that it would all become real and practical tonight, that they would leave with a better understanding of, number one, who they are, and more importantly, who their spouse is, and look at ways to meet their needs. So, Lord, we give you this time, this 15 minutes, in Jesus' name, amen.